Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. The Trump administration is ratcheting up the pressure on Moscow as President Trump met at the White House with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte.
He wants to end the bloodshed. He wants to end the killing. And he knows how important it is. And this is a big deal for him, for all of us. So his leadership here is crucial.
Aaron Navarro on the administration's new economic pressure.
The Treasury Department announced direct sanctions on Russia's largest oil companies. They said that this was due to, quote, a lack of serious commitment to a peace process to end the war in Ukraine. This comes the same week that we saw that potential Budapest summit between President Trump and Russian President Putin seem to fall apart.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says the military's taken out another alleged drug boat, this time in the Central Pacific off Colombia. President Trump just moments ago.
I wouldn't want to be in one of those boats heading away. You know, they're driving happily to destroy the lives of people and they end up, that's the end of them.
Congressman Adam Smith is among the lawmakers demanding more answers about these attacks. There have been at least eight now.
We can't have the United States military using lethal force, killing dozens of people, and not even be clear why or what it is that it's supposed to accomplish. That is bad policy, and also it is arguably illegal and against the U.S. Constitution.
CBS News has learned the Dominican Republic has granted permission to the U.S. military to use airports there for operations relating to the counter-narcotics flights. A federal judge has indefinitely extended a block on a National Guard deployment in Chicago. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
It looks like we're going to have a pause in Chicago on using the National Guard. That doesn't mean that there will be a pause on ICE actions in Chicago.
The Trump administration plans to deploy a team of Border Patrol agents to San Francisco as part of the escalating crackdown on illegal immigration. Matt Bigler reports some jurisdictions in California are moving to establish no ICE zones.
Leaders in San Jose and Santa Clara County have voted to create local ordinances that would make city and county property off limits to federal immigration officers. Councilmember Peter Ortiz.
We cannot wait until federal agents show up in our neighborhoods to finally decide that we should have protected our community spaces.
It's unclear how these no ICE zones would be enforced. In a statement, a Department of Homeland Security spokesperson said DHS enforces federal immigration law without fear, favor, or prejudice.
On Wall Street today, stocks finished lower. The Dow Jones Industrials off 334 points. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the River District to the Capitol in Madison, WXCO is where Wisconsin turns for real news and great conversation. WXCO.fm.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association. Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Bull Falls Radio charges through the noise. For real news and great conversation, WXCO delivers. Learn more at WXCO.fm. Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. WXCO is your home for real news and great conversation in Wausau. News, weather, and sports for Wausau right here on WXCO. Streaming 24/7 online at WXCO.fm. Over the air and on the web, WXCO is your home for real news and great conversation for Wausau. Learn more at WXCO.fm.
And welcome back. It is our number two of the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, joined by former Wausau West head football coach Jason Foster. And as we do every week, we always start off the second hour by having our student athlete guest join us. And tonight, from Merrill High School, Hunter Oppern. Hunter, thank you for making the trek down from Merrill to join us here tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I guess, first of all, it is level one playoff week. Does it feel different? Is it an exciting time now that you've had 9 regular season games, you had the preseason, had the off-season workouts, to be here in level one playoff week?
It does. For a second straight year in a row, actually, we've made it to the WIAA playoffs. So our guys, we know what to expect, and it's exciting. We got a home playoff game this year we get to host. So
that's been a while for Merrill, hasn't it?
Yep. We talked about it in the beginning of the season, and that was our goal, and we got it, and now we got other goals.
Yeah, and that's kind of where my question was. We had Coach on twice last year. You guys had a great season, kind of a comeback season, right? Like bringing Merrill football back. You made the playoffs for the first time in a long time. As you went into last season and won a playoff game, I mean, all really big things. What were your goals as you exited last season and came into this past offseason, coming into the rest of the last school year and this summer? What were the things you guys wanted to work on and get better at?
Obviously, we wanted to have a winning record, and we wanted to make the playoffs again, and a lot of off-season training and guys getting in the weight room and really coming together we're making it happen.
Last year there was some success. As you said, you made the playoffs last season. You had a really good battle. I don't think many people thought that when you went to Onalaska last year, you're going to have a chance to win that football game, and you could have very easily won that football game. How much did having that little bit of success add to the entire spirit of the program? Because I imagine it's a lot easier to get people into the weight room, work in the off season, come out for football when you have a little bit of success, and it's probably much easier to walk around the halls at Merrill during the school days as well.
Yeah, we made it last year. We're 7 seed playing the 2 seed, and obviously that's a big difference. And we went up there with full intentions of we're going to win a playoff game, and 13-7 fell short, but we battled. And now taking that into this year, I mean, we know what to expect. We don't want to lose again. Us seniors, I mean, if we lose, we're done. We're in it.
You talk about being seniors. You'd mentioned that earlier, your big game. We'll talk a lot more about that in a little bit. But coming on senior night last Friday night, tell me about the role that the senior leadership has played on both in the off season and what you've been able to accomplish this year.
Yeah, we have multiple leaders. I mean, not even all of them are seniors, but Noah Klug, he stepped up. He's Keelan. I mean, myself, Mason, all the seniors, a lot of them were in the weight room this summer and getting work in, doing extra practices, going to 7-on-7s. I mean, all of it's paying off now.
What does leadership mean within your group in terms of how do you show it with your guys? I mean, maybe an example, because there's so many different ways you can lead, and there's different ways that for different types of personalities that you can lead. Well, maybe how would you describe yourself as a leader? What are you able to do?
A lot of it is the little things people don't look at is maybe you're having a hard practice and you're going and you knock one of the younger kids over, help them up, pick them up. They're in there trying to make you better. You're in there trying to make them better. And, I mean, that's what we focused on as a team is the Merrill Blue Jays. We stick together. You got each other's backs. And
plays such a big role getting better from last year to this year and for those guys to get improve on wherever you guys end up this year heading into next season. We talked a little bit about the playoffs off the air and matchups and different things. Tell me about the conference season, because this year in the Great Northern was very different than the past, right? The top of the leaderboard certainly looked a little different than it had. So tell me a little bit about the conference season and what was kind of surprising and how things went.
I mean, first we started off with Mosinee, and Mosinee's always been a tough team, and we lost by 7. We were expecting to win, but we did a lot better than we thought, and then we go on a 4-game win streak, and then we got Tomahawk, which is we're thinking is – This is a conference title game. Like, we win, we're still in the running for conference, and if we lose, and we ended up losing, tough game, but we bounced back, came back, and won against Rylander.
Could you talk a little bit about those teams, Mosinee and Tomahawk? What made them successful this season as an opponent of those teams? You said you went to Mosinee early in the season. In the past, that's always been a very difficult matchup for the Merrill Blue Jays. It's been a very tough trip home after that, but you said it was a 21-14 game. What jumped out about Mosinee in that game? And maybe what was the difference for your team that maybe as you go into the playoffs you have to be better at?
I mean, we actually scored first that game, and we were rolling, and came down the last 2 minutes. We had the ball possession, and just couldn't make that 2-minute drill happen. And we practice 2-minute drill every day before game day now, and it's been paying off more. We finish.
And what about Tomahawk? They were the surprise this season. I mean, it came out of nowhere. It looks like they built some momentum from their hockey state championship. What was it about Tomahawk, and what was it like up there? Could you sense that that community was very excited about what Tomahawk football has been able to do?
Yeah, we coming into this year, they were on our radar. We were watching them. Everybody's looking, and we knew they were going to be tough. But getting up there, and it's just Merrill versus Tomahawk, parents, everybody, fans. I mean, everybody, that was a game. That was the game of the year.
Yeah, I would agree. I think for me, going through this conference and knowing that 6 of the 7 teams in a conference made the playoffs, I mean, that usually doesn't happen. So, I mean, congratulations to a great a conference on a great season and getting that many teams in. To me, when we talk about Merrill football and kind of when we do the matchups each week and the talk about them the week after, to me, when Merrill looked to me like, okay, these guys are for real, was the 2-week stretch when you went back-to-back against, played a really tough game against Mosinee, which I think raised some eyebrows, and then followed it up the next week with a win against Medford. I don't know when the last time that Mosinee beat Medford and how
Merrill
many...
Merrill beat Medford.
That's what I meant.
I'm going to save you here. Jump on the grenade.
Thank you very much. So Merrill beating Medford, it's been a long time since you guys beat Medford, so kind of that was, I mean, had to give you some confidence and get you guys to believe. I think at the end of the year, reflect back and say Mosinee's down, or Medford is down a little bit this year, but obviously a really nice 2-week stretch that probably gave you guys a lot of confidence. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think we looked at it and it was like 10 years or something since we beat Medford, and we got to do it at home, so that always makes it better.
And also as a defensive player in that game, forced a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, I think we had 6 turnovers.
What was the key in forcing all those turnovers that night?
We were ready. After taking that tough loss against Mosinee, we wanted it. First home game, first conference home game, and we were attacking. We're flying around, playing fast, and that's what we do.
I love it. I'm a defensive guy, and I love when Chad picks guests based on defensive performances. You had an outstanding week last week, 9 tackles, 4 sacks. I mean, for a lot of guys, that's a season. That's a heck of a night, heck of a senior night. Tell me a little bit more about your defense. What is the style? What is your style of play? What is the style of play of your overall defense? And who are the other key members of your defense?
I kind of play like a, I don't know, I'm a faster D lineman. only reaching about 200 pounds, but I can also take on run plays. I mean, everybody plays fast. We got Mason Block and Jay Steinuggle, two big guys up on the inside, and our other D end, actually, he's a junior, stepped up to play D end this year, and he's doing phenomenal. I mean, safety Keelan, we kind of move him around wherever we need him. He's our playmaker all over. So we got a lot of good guys coming together.
Who is your favorite rival? You've talked about a lot of different teams. You have Mosinee and Medford, and Wausau East is there, and Tomahawk. I mean, Rhinelander, you said it's always a big game. Who is the team that you look most forward to playing?
I would say the Merrill Blue Jays rival is the Antigo Red Robins.
But the War on 64, right?
My biggest rival is East. I think Wausau East is a big rival because we'd lost a tough game to them to bad scenarios and whatever happened last year, but I just really wanted to beat them this year, so they were my rival this year.
Is it the same in wrestling? I guess we usually ask you what the other sports, but you mentioned to us earlier. In wrestling, is it the same? Because it's kind of different. You have the team aspect, but you also have those individual battles as well. Do you have a favorite on the mats?
I would say East is up there again. They're close. They're close school, rival school, but we're actually in a different wrestling conference this year, so we'll wrestle some new competition.
I was just gonna ask that exact question. Like, this is the first year for Merrill in the GNC for everything. What is the mindset around you guys as athletes and you guys as coaches? Is this something you guys have looked forward to and are excited about being in that conference for everything, knowing that you have some history with them in football? So do you guys think this is a good step for you?
I think it's a good step. Yeah, we've always played tough competition, and we're still playing tough competition, but we're also tough too. So,
again, we're talking to Hunter Opper from Merrill High School, our student athlete guest this week on the Big High School Sports Show. Let's step away from sports for just a few moments. In school, what's your favorite class?
Probably graphics classes. I'm in a lot of graphics classes this year.
Who's your teacher, or who's your favorite teacher there?
Probably my sports graphics teacher or graphics teacher, which is Mr. Wagner or Mr. Krieger.
Mr. Krieger, awesome. I know that you play multiple sports. I know you've talked about spending a lot of time in the weight room. When you do have some free time, what do you like to do?
I like to hunt, fish, hang time with my dad, set tree stands, I mean, trap, hang out with friends, go to the gym.
What kind of hunting? Are you a bull guy? You a gun guy?
Both, actually.
What do you know what you think you want to do after this school year? Do you have plans in place already? You're still up in the air? What are your thoughts?
I actually, with football and stuff going through colleges and stuff like that, I mean, I've been looking at a couple, but I thought about going into like the trades or something, but now that football or colleges are getting to me, I've been looking at what colleges have to offer, because a lot of that is normally you just go to the tech for that, but right.
Are you hoping to continue athletics at the next level?
Yeah, I would like to play at the next level.
And is it football?
Wrestling, I mean, both.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the wrestling aspect. What weight division do you participate in wrestling?
The last 2 years I wrestled at 165. This year I'm a little bit bigger, coming in at like 200 right now. So we'll see. I got that 190, and we'll see if I cut down to 75 this year or not. But
I would say, is it fair to say that wrestling is maybe in a similar spot to football? I know there's some pretty strong tradition of wrestling at Merrill, and I know that maybe within the last 5 years you guys hadn't been as good as you had been historically. I know you guys kind of took a nice step forward in wrestling last year as well. Is that kind of the same mindset?
Yeah, I mean, a big help is we got a big group of seniors. Like, my senior class got like 15 for football, and I think just as many football players that play football are going to wrestle this year. So
do you have a group of friends that are similar football and wrestling?
Yeah, I do. I got my friend Ben Gruitt. He plays football, he wrestles. Preston Schilke, Noah Klug, yeah, a lot of guys.
Well, those are all big Merrill names, right?
Yep.
Those guys have been around the program for a long time. What is the mindset this week in practice? I mean, how much has changed? We asked Coach this a little while ago, right? We get to this point of the season, it gets dark a little bit earlier. This is the first week where it's been in the 50s and a little bit rainy. How have things looked different this week in practice as you prepare for a playoff game?
A big thing in practice is our leaders, again, stepping in. Everybody knows it's cold and there's nothing we can do about it. coaches are pushing us. Our guys know they got to get it done. Get practice done, get to go home.
What jumps out about Lakeland? You've had a chance to play them already one time. You had a nice win up in Minocqua. As you prepare for Lakeland, what do they do well? What are the things that you're going to be looking for against Lakeland?
Obviously, we beat them once already, and that can be an advantage, but it's also harder to beat a team two times. So, I mean, they're running different plays. They got some injuries and guys going down, and we've been adapting to that, practicing it. A lot of repetitions at defense and getting it down, what we need to do our job.
Real quickly, the mental aspect was when people like us get on the radio, oh, yeah, Lakeland's got injuries. How do you guys try to keep the noise out and just say, hey, that was a Lakeland team that was actually leading Tomahawk at halftime last week? Sometimes you see, there's a couple of big guys out. Well, there's obviously some guys that want to get in there as well for Lakeland. How do you try to not let that talk about maybe them not being quite as strong as they were when they started off 4-0?
Well, for the most part, it's conference play. Anything can happen. And at the beginning of the year, actually, Lakeland beat Mosinee. And that's a huge win. So we know how dangerous they can be. We can't not overlook them.
And I know, and I think most people who listen know by this point too, but watching film in preparation for offense and defense against your opponent is such a big deal. But when you look at playing a team like Lakeland, or you look at your overall season as you prepared for week to week, and obviously Coach Wodzinski is kind of the leader of this, but is your mindset as a team more – what do we need to do to beat our opponent, or what is it that we need to do to play Merrill's brand of football, and it doesn't necessarily matter so much what our opponent does?
A big thing that we've always talked about has been a big thing this year is 1-0. Like, we talk 1-0 every week. We practice all week. We play our game. Whatever happens, next day we move on. We're on to the next week. So this week it's Lakeland. We got to beat Lakeland at home for round one of the playoffs.
How meaningful is it? I know as a coach, we've talked about this tonight on the show with other guests or just Chad and I. Football's the only sport where you have to earn your way into the playoffs. So making the playoffs is a big deal, regardless of what your record is. That's a huge first step. It's on a lot of goal boards for the year. How much more important is it to be able to see you at a home playoff game and you earned that?
It's very important, and it's very rewarding, because I think it's been like 15 years since we've won a home playoff game, and now we have an opportunity to do that. So I think it's huge.
What are the biggest things that your team has to do in order to be successful on Friday?
We got to be locked in, uptight, up above. I mean, you can't go into any week thinking, oh, we're going to blow them out, or oh, they're good, so we're going to lose, or they got players back. That just go play football.
Is that making sure that happens? Is that something that you and the other seniors take upon yourselves to make sure each night in practice, when you get to Friday morning, when you get to Friday at lunchtime, when you get to Friday afternoon and start thinking about the game? Is that you guys, or is that more on the coaching staff?
I would say it's equal. I mean, you see the coaches throughout the day at school and stuff, and they're always talking about it. But you can just tell, like, in the locker room, when you walk in Friday after school for game, it's just you can tell everybody's knows it's game day. Like, there's not as much monkeying around, and they're locked in.
Anything else for Hunter before we get to our final question?
No, just congratulations on a great season. Congratulations on your role of bringing this football program the last 2 years back to where it is. Congratulations on a great game last Friday. That's one you'll remember for a long time, and best of luck this Friday.
Thank you.
And our final question we always ask of our student athlete guests is that, especially for seniors who are multi-sport athletes, based on what you've learned over the years since you started your high school athletic career, based on the experiences you have, when you see maybe a freshman is just starting their journey with Merrill football or Merrill wrestling, what piece of advice would you give them?
Take it all in. It goes by so fast. I remember my freshman year, Coach Wad writing up a bunch of numbers on the board, and he ended up explaining that those were the amount of guaranteed playing minutes we had left. And I got 48 left, so I got to play.
Awesome.
That is so very true. Very good advice indeed. Hunter Opper, again, congrats on all the success you and your teammates have had so far this season. Best of luck as you take on those Thunderbirds at Jay Stadium on Friday night. And thanks for coming again from Merrill here to Wausau to join us tonight.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick timeout, then we're going to start looking at some of these brackets coming up, including Merrill against Lakeland and a whole bunch of other games as we continue here on 98.9 WXCO.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the WIAA, are the 178,000 high school sports students in Wisconsin. And so we stand. We stand for the runners, soccer, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, administrators, and officials. We stand for the swimmers, football players, and wrestlers. We stand for the golfers, softball, and volleyball players. We stand as the national leader and advocate for high school athletics and all who participate in them and make them possible. Because it is our purpose to ensure that high school students get to play, perform, and compete together. To learn more about who we are and what we stand for, visit nfhs.org.
Are you passionate about local high school sports? So are we. WXCO 98.9 FM is proud to be the only station in Wausau bringing you live, play-by-play coverage of high school sports, game after game, season after season. But we can't do it alone. We are currently seeking local sponsors and community partners who believe in the power of sports to bring people together, inspire youth, and energize our hometown pride. Promote your business, support our local athletes, be heard by thousands of loyal local listeners. If your business is interested in supporting live sports broadcasts while gaining valuable exposure, now is the perfect time to become a WXCO sports sponsor. Message us on our Facebook page or call or text our sales rep, Aaliyah, at 608-573-1597. That's 608-573-1597. Let's keep Wausau High School sports on the air together.
It is the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Chad Holmes along with Jason Foster. Two very good guests again tonight. I thought Coach Diethelm gave us a lot of really good information about a player and his Athens Blue Jays as they go into a road game against Lena St. Thomas Aquinas, again, a team that made it to the state championship game a year ago. And then Hunter Opper from the Merrill Blue Jays. And again, you can tell that young man's been in the weight room.
Yeah, big, big, strong kid. And you can tell that he's been, from both the things he said on air and off the air, that the evolution of that football program, right? How they got to where they're at. I mean, they weren't a great football team within the last 5 years, and they've taken some really nice steps forward. And I think people, whatever, if you are an Edgar or Stratford, and
whatever is always a good word,
right? If you are Edgar and Stratford, you get home playoff games every single year, yeah, through level three, and nobody bats an eye at it. When you're a team who is building, when you're a team who is trying to get to the next level and take a step forward each year, making the playoffs is a really big deal. Getting a home playoff game is a really big deal. So I think that those are things that in this program, I think getting a home playoff win is kind of the next part of that equation. And all those things are within their reach right now. So,
well, you really know exactly what that's like.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not been a lot of home playoff games over the years. And it was special when you got those games.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about the rankings and the seedings and how all that stuff happens. And you get those home playoff games. Sometimes you get really tough. Like I think Wass East had a home playoff game last year and drew a tough opponent, played a good game. But yeah, all those things really matter. And not only are they big right now for your program and taking a step forward, but for Hunter to be able to talk for the next 15, 10, 20 years when these guys get back together to talk about that we're the ones, and maybe they keep growing and they become a deep run playoff team over the next few years. Maybe this group is their peak. Who knows what's going to happen, but no matter what happens, forever they'll be able to say, we beat Medford for the first time in, what did he say, 10 or 15 years, and we had a home playoff game for the first time in 10, 15 years, and win a home playoff game for the first time. So all really good things for them as both individuals and as a team.
Well, let's delve into this Friday night's action. Again, level one playoffs in 11-player football. Let's start with Division One. Let's start the game that I am looking forward to going down and seeing, the Wausau West Warriors and the Arrowhead Warhawks. Wausau West 5-4, number 8 seed. Arrowhead 8-1, a number 1 seed. 6:35 p.m. airtime right here on 98.9 WXCO. WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. So everybody tune in. The Warriors, not an easy game. You talk about a powerhouse, Arrowhead. They got, I'm almost want to try to sneak in and see all those trophies because they have 6 state championship trophies and a huge challenge for Wausau West. And this year's been a little odd for the Warriors. They won all their home games. They lost all their road games. And again, that's just, I don't take a lot out of that. It's last year is almost the opposite because
the team, your schedule,
it is how your schedule goes. But for Wausau West, I mean, you got Cooper DePoit, who's been running the ball well recently, but you got a Arrowhead team. Their quarterback is a junior named Nolan Hansen. He has thrown for 1,362 yards, 11 TDs, 7 interceptions. Jacob Siner is their senior running back, 979 yards and 11 touchdowns. I have to say that I'm still in the midst of trying to get my arms wrapped around Arrowhead. I just know that when it's Arrowhead, it's going to be a great matchup, and it's a great challenge. I mean, do you want to go to Arrowhead in level one? Probably not. But at the same time, you have a chance to do something really special if you're Wausau West.
You have the opportunity to do something really special. You have the opportunity to go somewhere you've never been before, and you may never get to go there again as a football team, football program. And, I mean, there's certainly an element to it like last year in the playoffs, right? For how many years the playoff bracket's been pretty cut and dry, right? You know it's going to include Hudson. You know it's going to include whatever local teams made it. And then you're going to pick up those teams, as many teams as you need from the east to get to 8, and then the rest of them will head south. So last year we had headed south for the first time as an 8 seed and played a 1 seed and made a good football game of that for sure. And I think this is a similar thing. Now, I think one of the differences this year is, I mean, Arrowhead has phenomenal tradition, for sure. And the conference they play in is probably about as good week in and week out as it gets. So when you look at the record, when you look at the statistics and the numbers of their quarterback and their running back, I mean, it is a tall challenge for sure. But you're right. I think it's an opportunity. I think sometimes when you play a team like this, I mean, if you're the 8th seed, you're going on the road no matter what. But sometimes I think that might be to your advantage when you go play a team like this, right? Like the Warriors will travel well and they'll have a nice crowd, but you're getting on a bus, you're kind of dialed in and focused for that 3-hour trip till you get down there, and you play a really, really good football team.
Dialed in and focused. And I was talking to Coach Johnson at practice today, and it's like I said, you know, last week they're up 7-0. You have an offside penalty before a potential long field goal attempt. For Wausau West, it's been an issue this year. Too many penalties. Being focused, cleaning it up. That's the way they give yourself a chance, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you just look at the numbers in this one, obviously they're really good at throwing the ball, as was River Falls. And that was a struggle for the Warriors last year to play defense. I think to compete in games like this, you got to hope that the numbers don't it's not just based on the numbers, and that you come out and you create some lucky breaks for yourself. You get turnovers. You're able to possess the ball and limit the amount of time they're able to chuck it around. And then when that happens, it puts teams like that maybe back on their heels a little bit. They don't know a lot about the Warriors either. So I think that's to your advantage. I mean, there's no question what Vegas thinks about this game or what it's going to be, but it's definitely a huge challenge, but there's definitely some intriguing parts too about getting on a bus and driving down to Heartland.
And usually in D1, you see an 8-1.
Yeah.
Most years you see one of those come because as we talked about earlier, there's so many good teams. You don't see, again, most of the time the 3-6 team making it. I mean, Wausau West is a 5-4 team, and they're an 8 seed. I mean, you don't have soft touches in Division I.
No, absolutely not. And we talked about too, like when you look at the brackets, and you and I have talked a lot today, so I can't remember if this was on the air or off the air. So if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. No, no. But like one of the tall challenges about D1 and some of these matchups is, these over 500 teams are the 8 seeds, and some of these other brackets, teams with 2 and 3 wins are 6 and 7 seeds. And one of the toughest things about Division I is the best teams who rack up those competitive balance points have nowhere to go, so they stay in Division I. But the best teams in Division II who rack up those competitive balance points, they bump up to Division I. Yeah. So it kind of squeezes some of those lesser teams out, and that's what you want, right? You want the best possible teams making the playoffs, but it certainly creates a greater challenge for sure in Division I.
But that's not really fair for the team like Stevens Point that doesn't make the playoffs.
Yes, I would bet if we had them on right now, they'd have some things to say.
Because you're adding a Division II powerhouse that's taken away a slot or maybe two. Who knows? I have to go back and look at that. Yeah. So the other Division I area team involved is DC Everest, 6-3. They're a number 5 seed. They travel, again, like West does, to Brookfield. Brookfield East, 7-2, number 4 seed. And Evergreens, I mean, they got on the bus 3 times in a row in the playoffs last year. They'll try to do it again starting this week. Corbin Enzenroth, of course, will probably have to have a big day on the big night on the ground with 1,082 yards in the regular season and 15 touchdowns. And I think Xavier Edwards is one again. I think he is that X factor, no pun intended, because he is such a big play kid. And that leads to the quarterback question, because it is a sophomore. It's a young man that stepped in the middle of the season, Ty Rohde, after the injury to Jake Stasniak. I think that once you get to the playoffs, a guy like Xavier Edwards is one of those difference makers that Everest is going to have to use, and I think use quite a bit.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. He's definitely an X factor. He's definitely their best athlete right now, has been the whole year. I'm going to go on and play really important football and run track in college. The question is, can their sophomore quarterback get him the ball, have enough time, and get him the ball enough? I mean, what are the strengths of DC Everest this year? It's their line play. So, I mean, that can certainly help a young quarterback. And he's not as young as he was when he entered the game in week 3 or 4 or whatever it was, right? He now has 3, 4, 5 games or 5, 6 games under his belt, and he is more of a seasoned veteran than he was then. So he's definitely learned some things along the way. Obviously, a team like Brookfield East knows who Xavier Edwards is and is going to have a game plan for him. But you get Corbin Enzenroth back, hopefully, in this one. And I think Everest competes and gives this one a game. Brookfield East is a heck of a football program, and we talk a lot about Arrowhead. But when you look at the teams that have beat them,
they lost to Muskego and Germantown.
I mean, those are all perennial state championships.
They haven't given up a lot of points either this
year. And is Brookfield East a team that had been bumped up from Division II? Because they were a Division II state championship, at least qualifier within the last few years. So I'm wondering if they might be one who got bumped up.
Yep. I mean, that just, again, it just makes D1 even tougher and tougher.
Right.
Division II, the Marshfield Tigers are there, 5-4, number 6 seed. They travel to Oshkosh North, 8-1, a number 3 seed. Marshfield has a 4-game winning streak, and that was a massive win last week against Stevens Point. Again, Hayden Carlson has been the guy. He had 1,525 yards on the ground, 297 last week. But again, as we've talked about all year, it's been this split of the quarterback play for the Marshfield Tigers. They have to get good quarterback play once you get to this level.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, what's been the strength of their team down the stretch here has been their ability to run the ball and play and play solid defense, which obviously is a good recipe for playoff football, but you cannot win at this level in these types of games without the ability to at least throw the ball somewhat, because the team can shut down the run. If you don't have an answer for that or an ability to keep 8-9 guys out of the box, it's going to be a long road. Oshkosh North, who obviously has a ton of tradition, hasn't been a great football team in recent history, but certainly has a history of state championships, appears to be playing really good football and has had a great season. So tough one. Lost to Notre Dame Academy, who is a perennial state powerhouse as well. So also a really good team, a really good pedigree coming in. Marshfield's going to have to do a lot of things well and hope the ball bounces their way.
And it's a team that's thrown the ball pretty well. Their quarterback and receiver combination has been very, very tough. Defense has allowed 13 or fewer points in 7 of their 9 games. It breaks the question when they talk about these teams that have been really good defensively or who like to throw the football. We have not had weather be a factor this year. Right. I don't know if it's going to be a factor Friday or not, but for a team, I would imagine for an underdog, you wouldn't mind having a little weather involved, would you?
No, I think so. I think any little advantage you can get, I assume this game's at Titan Stadium.
Yep.
If they're going over to Oshkosh, so a big venue, right? Marshfield obviously has a beautiful venue as well, but all of those things, and you hope that you can find a couple things. I think it's definitely supposed to be cooler in that fall weather, but I think it's supposed to be a nice day, if I'm not mistaken, as far as sunshine and clear. But yeah, I remember when West went down last year on the road for their playoff game. That was one of the first really cold and super windy nights, and I think that certainly worked in the Warriors' advantage last year.
What about Marshfield? 4-game win streak. I mean, I think we did not think that they were going to stay where they were early, because they did have tough games. But that quarterback issue kind of hung over me. I was wondering if they could get past that. You have to say they've been – it's still an interesting team, because the last couple of weeks, I mean, Eau Claire North and Stevens Point, kind of wide variety of teams. You would expect them to have taken care of Eau Claire North much easier, but it went right down to the wire. Went right to the wire. Both were high-scoring games. What's your general take on Denny Gatel's team right now?
I think they're playing really good football. I think that they're significantly better than they were at this time last year as they went into the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, a rematch against New Richmond, who had kind of given it to them a little bit earlier in the season as well. I think that it speaks a little, they're taking nothing away from them, right? Because you play the games that are on there. But I think they're playing better football at this time of the year than they were. And I think, generally speaking, what we've seen from Spash is our conference was probably down a little bit this year, too. So, but, I mean, when you look at their schedule at the beginning of the year, I think they would looked at West as a game that they really felt they had to win, probably went into it as one of those toss-up type games. And you probably were hoping that you didn't have to beat Spash week 9 to make the playoffs, and they didn't necessarily, but they did beat them. So I think that's a huge confidence boost as well.
And they were impressive against West. I think that by far that was their best performance of the season. They knew they had to win that game, and they came out and they were ready. It was a big crowd homecoming, and it all came together for them.
Yeah, and I think their secondary played well in that game too. You said Oshkosh North, that's one of their strengths, is in their ability to throw the ball with their good quarterback and good receiver. But I think they should have some confidence. Beating Spash, whatever Spash's record is or the season they had, is big every single time you do it. So I can't think of a better win. And I think one of the knocks on Marshfield earlier in the season was their inability to score points in the last couple games. Yeah. They've scored a bunch of points. Then, so I think, I mean, there's definitely some optimism. It's a steep hill to climb, but I think that this is not nearly as tough a matchup as maybe driving down to Heartland on
Friday
night.
I think you're agreeing. I agree with 100%, and they've scored more than 30 3 weeks in a row, so yep, they're putting up points. Division 3, Wausau East will travel to Mount Horeb Barneveld. Wausau East 4-5, a 7 seed. Mount Horeb Barneveld 7-2, a 2 seed. The Vikings, talk a little bit about them. They have scored at least 44 points in 5 of their last 6 games. Their quarterback, Brooks Hendrickson, has completed 128 of 198 passes. That's a very good percentage, about 65%. 1,729 yards and 23 touchdowns. Receiver Hayden Anderson, 42 pass catches, 558 yards and 8 touchdowns. I am actually thinking that Wausau East defensively has some talent. I think they have talent at front, linebacker, and defensive back. I'm curious to see the defense for East up against this offense that looks very sharp for Mount Horeb.
Yeah, I think that Mount Horeb's a really good football program. Wausau West gained a really nice football player this year who came from Mount Horeb Barneveld. So know a little bit about what their last two seasons have been like, and they've been in a very, very successful football program with a lot of talent. I think the one thing that I think East is a little bit untested because we're not quite sure what has happened in that conference, right? We're not exactly sure how good the Mosinese and the
point I'll make real fast is that Logan game early in the season. They were still healthy, and East gave them a game right down to the wire. Because the first game against Westby, that's not a game that I think you can compare to Mount Horeb.
Right.
But, I think untested is probably a pretty good word to put on it.
Yeah, so I think this is a good test for them. I think it's a pretty good bus ride down to Mount Horeb Barneveld. I'm not sure which place it's at.
It's in Mount Horeb.
Mount Horeb, okay. But, yeah, I think it's a tall challenge for them. I think when – the other thing is I think you said they have some talent in their secondary, kind of at all three levels, but I don't think they've seen a quarterback who's thrown for 1,700 yards and 23 touchdowns.
So Meverden is a player that has got good ball skills. He's had a few interceptions this season. That's the one thing that when I was putting it together, I was thinking that maybe a kid like Caden Meverden, we think of him offensively, but I also think that defensively, somebody like him could make one of those plays that can be one of those 14-point plays, basically.
Right. When you look at games like this and when there are upsets, it usually comes down to turnovers, right? A team that's highly favored turns the ball over 2, 3, 4 times in a game, and if you throw it a lot, and if East is able to throw something at them they haven't seen recently, and maybe they take it for granted when they look at East's record and know they're going on the road. So there's definitely some factors that work themselves into this game. East is going to have to go play a really good football game because Mount Horeb Barneveld's a good team.
And I know they're very high on their sophomore quarterback, Cam Rye, but this is going to be a great test for this young man. They think of him as a very mature sophomore, calm presence. This will be a real test for him. And I think it'll be a great experience for him no matter what.
Absolutely.
As he moves forward in the next 2 years.
Right. And Mount Horeb averaging 44 points a game, you're going to have to score a lot to kind of keep up. I mean, I look back to the game last week against River Falls.
Oh, boy, those are scary offenses.
Even if you're able to slow them down a little bit, you got to score a lot of points to beat a team like that. And that was a really tall order.
Lakeland and Merrill. Lakeland 5-4, the 5 seed. Merrill 6-3 of the 4 seed. Merrill beat Lakeland 34-14 last month. Lakeland got off to a great start, including that win against Mosinee, but then they've been banged up. Merrill has done a nice job coming down the stretch, winning 5 of 6. It feels like a tough spot for Lakeland, but I'm, when you hear, they know this in the locker room. The mental aspect is so important, I think, in a game like this.
Yeah, for sure. And we've talked about it with our guests. We've talked about it off air. These conference matchups in level one, like I've never liked them. I've never liked them at all because as familiar as you are with them, they are with you.
And normally the games are never the same.
Nope.
I mean, even a couple years ago when West played Spash, the first game West had a terrible night turning it over. The second time they moved it up and down the field, put up 30-plus points, had a big lead. I mean, the game is never the same.
Correct. And like we've talked about all year, right, injuries play a role. Like the team you saw 2, 3, 4 weeks ago might not be the same team.
Yeah.
And a lot of playoffs make a difference, too. So I think this is a tough matchup. I think Merrill's playing good football. I think they're in a really good spot to kind of get a great home win and move forward to level two in the playoffs. But I certainly would not rule Lakeland out in this. I think they have the opportunity. I think Hunter said it best. I mean, they had a great win against Mosinee, and they're the only ones in the conference who did. So they definitely got that on their side.
I got a feeling that Coach Wodzinski said it to him because he said it's like, hey, they beat Mosinee. And he was like, it came out of Hunter's mouth very quickly. Yeah. So
those coaches said it a bunch of times.
I'm guessing they did. Two other GNC teams in action in Division III, both 8 seeds. Medford 3-6 at undefeated number 1 seed at Grafton. Rhinelander 8 seed 3-6 at Edgewood, 8-1 at number 1 seed. They're there. But neither one of these teams has played very well.
They haven't played very well, and they're about to play teams that have that are significantly better than anybody they've seen, especially in the conference this year. So, I think you give the nod to Medford a little bit. Not that I think they're going to win, but that they've at least been there. Right? They've played really good teams, both in non-conference and in postseason play, and haven't had a ton of success even in their best years in the playoffs against really good teams.
The one thing that Medford has, the ability perhaps to have long drives, but the run game.
Because possess the ball.
You want to have as few possessions total in the game as possible in that situation, right?
Absolutely. You limit the touches on the other side, and then you hope for the turnovers and good things to happen. But Medford has struggled down the stretch against teams in their own conference. So I think this is definitely a tall order, and Rhinelander's been pretty inconsistent throughout.
Division 4, Mosinee, 7-2, a number 2 seed, will host Beloit Turner, 4-5, a 7 seed. Mosinee has been playing great football, 5 wins in a row. Treve Stoffel has done it all, 1,342 yards, 16 touchdowns passing, 875 on the ground, 15 more scores, 81 tackles, 4 interceptions, a couple of fumble recoveries. But this has been, again, Mosinee's had these kind of games. They've had higher seeds. They've had, and again, facing a team from outside the area. It's Turner, again, they're in the Capital Conference. They have 3 teams in that league that are top 4 seeds in Division 4, Columbus, Lodi, and Lake Mills. But they lost their last 2 games badly, 71-14 combined. But again, there's that unknown, and I call it the fear of the unknown here for if you're Mosinee.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think this, first off, is another example of how this new playoff format has thrown geography to the wind, for certain. But you look at the teams that they lost, and I think Mosinee's a better team. I think the one knock on Mosinee is going to be how dimensional are they and how much depth do they have. If a team can completely shut down Treve Stoffel, that's going to be a tall order for them to overcome that. But when you look at those teams in that conference, I mean, Columbus, perennial powerhouse. Lodi has won a state championship in the last few years. Lake Mills has won a state championship. So that is you look at a team that has 5 losses, and if 3 of them are against teams who've been in the state championship game in the last 3 to 5 years, and I think also a school that draws from a much larger population than just if you take a private school in a very small community that has other big high schools. So definitely, I mean, Turner's definitely probably no slouch, but I think Mosinee's playing really good football and has earned their 2 seed and should definitely be favored in this game.
Division 5, Tomahawk, number 1 seed, 8-1, takes on Omro, 3-6, a number 8 seed. Rose from the Flyway Conference. Mayville won it. Winnebago Lutheran, St. Mary Springs. We've heard about them very often. So obviously a tested Omro team, but still a 3-6 team. And for Tomahawk, it's going to be a very exciting night at their nice little stadium there. They've earned it, and I'm sure they want to make sure that they don't look ahead at all.
Right, and we talk about all the things that can help you going into the playoffs, right? Playing good football, how you've won your other games, who your opponents have been. I think one of the greatest things Tomahawk has is these kids have won a state championship in another sport. They understand big games. They understand how to play in front of crowds. They understand the mental toughness. And
moving through a bracket.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I think that, I mean, Tomahawk, I mean, we'll talk probably a little bit about it in regards to them in Stratford and 1 seed, 2 seed, all that. But at the end of the day, obviously, if you take history out of it, I think you can make a legitimate argument that Tomahawk has earned their spot, and it'll be interesting to see how deep they're able to go.
Absolutely. Then Wittenberg-Burnhamwood is a 5 seed, despite being under 500, still a 5 seed. I think you were kind of talking about that a little bit earlier. They're at Brookfield Academy, who's 5-4. So it's really, again, it's a 4-5 game, and they all have 4-5 records. And again, for Whitburn this year, it's been a very interesting. I think their season is as interesting as anybody's. Bryson Schmidt, who was supposed to be one of the best players in Central Wisconsin, got injured in preseason. They had those tough losses to Tomahawk and Stratford. I mean, 1-2 seeds. Yeah. I mean, you look at it, they're in this division, and if they win those games, even with the tough loss to Marathon, they let the 14-point lead get away, they would still have 6 wins and be probably at home on Friday night. Brookfield Academy was second in the Midwest Classic Small behind Kenosha St. Joseph, one of the best teams in the state of Wisconsin. So, but two of the six teams in that conference did not field varsity squads this year. But that did give them an opportunity. It gives a couple of, maybe that 5-4 record is because I did not count their wins,
right,
a part of that. But they played some good competition that I think will make them better prepared for the playoffs as well.
Yeah, definitely another whatever. This is a whole different 2-hour long show, but certainly a private school. And yeah. I mean, Brookfield used to have some, I mean, Brookfield East, we know how good they are. Brookfield Central with Coach Seinold has won state championships a long time ago, but been good. I think this is one of those games, though. If Wittenberg plays good football, I think this is probably one of the better matchups out there, or the better draws, I should say. Like, knowing that they haven't played great down the stretch, Wittenberg-Burnwood, yeah, this is a pretty good spot for them. I mean, it would have been a lot tougher for them to be a 7 or an 8 seed with that 4-5 record and go on the road to play a really tough team. I mean, at Brookfield Academy is a pretty long bus ride for them as well, but probably a good matchup. So if they play good football, I think they got a shot.
Gonna have to go, kind of pick up the tempo here as we're getting the last 5 minutes here. We're going to our 5-minute drill.
All right.
Division 5, Stratford, number 2 seed against number 7 seed Richland Center. Spencer Columbus, a 5 seed at number 4 seeded New Holstein. Amherst, number 2 seed against Lancaster, a number 7 seed, 4-5. So those are three teams of the CWC large. And all three teams have had really good seasons for different reasons. I think Stratford for bouncing back after their losses. Spencer Columbus really building throughout the season. And Amherst, as we talked about earlier as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think that we talk. Everyone's in different spots, right? Stratford's looking at a fifth or a fourth straight championship in a row, or at least competing for one. Spencer Columbus is in a situation where they're pretty excited to be back in the playoffs, and if earn that spot by playing good football, like it has, they haven't gotten there based on forfeits or whatever. They've played good teams
and
won good teams down the stretch. And Lancaster, my goodness, Coach Holk, and how many state championships have they won? So kind of a obviously
interesting 7th seed, right?
Yeah, not the team they've been in the past, but Amherst. I mean, who are they? Right? Are they gonna blow this Lancaster team out and go on a run here, or are they gonna kind of struggle down the stretch? So good matchups.
Division 6, Edgar moved up with that quotient, looking for a third straight state championship. The first two in Division 7. Loyal Greenwood, boy, they had such a good start, and boy, the wheels kind of fallen off late in the season.
Yeah, I mean, again, good for them for making the playoffs. Probably not super excited Saturday morning to see they'd be heading back down the road to Edgar. Obviously super tough. Edgar is a 1 seed. I can't imagine any 8 seed that want to see him, but no. But obviously a tough road for them.
Marathon at Kewaunee, and the good for Marathon, Vince Dinko got his team back in the playoffs. It probably hurt them losing that game last week, despite being a big edge against Spencer Columbus in the yardage, and they have a tough one against Kewaunee.
Yeah, Kewaunee really good. The Storm, right? Really yep. good program, really good athletes, strong history, so tough road for them, but great job getting back into the playoffs, and we'll see what happens.
It's really interesting to see Abbotsford as a 6-3 team be a 7 seed, and they play Mondovi, who's 8-1. They should be 9-0, because I think if you're watching the bracket show on Saturday, their one loss was to Regis on a Hail Mary. They should be 9-0, the number 1 seed. This is a really tough one for Abbotsford, and the last 2 weeks have been tough ones for Abby with the Auburndale shutout and then the Edgar shutout.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally they run the football really well, and you have a lot of confidence going into the playoffs. They have not done that necessarily the last 2 weeks. And Mondovi, not only 8-1 team, probably should be 9-0 this year. They've been good for quite a while now, too. So strong program, playing really good football, tough matchup for Abby.
And the rest of the CWC Merrowwood teams, D6, Wyoega Fremont, a number 5 seed at 5-4, at 4th seed at Cambridge. Auburndale, 8-1, a number 3 seed, which may be a little bit low, but they take on 5-4 Crandon, who is a number 6 seed. And Division 7, Assumption, 3-6, an 8 seed at undefeated number 1 seed Cochrane, Fountain City, and Pittsville. Again, they played well coming down the stretch, but they have Hilbert, number 2 seed on Friday.
Yeah, Assumption, last year is an 11-man team and making the playoffs. I mean, nice memory for them.
I don't know how much of a nice memory that game will be on Friday, however.
Maybe not the game. Maybe just making the playoffs is the memory.
That's right. We got, about a minute and a half to go here. I guess, again, as you look at the playoffs as we go into it, what are the things that you're looking at? Is there anything in particular that you're excited about? Anything that, you know, in terms of maybe big picture that you'll be looking at?
Yeah, I think big picture, I think we're still trying to figure out what this new playoff seeding means. And there's a lot of unknown matchups in this, right? We usually, and some years we complain about those conference matchups, and you shouldn't have to play somebody from your conference again right away or whatever. And for the most part, that's not happening other than in a couple instances through here. So maybe that makes it better, but it certainly makes for some really tough matchups as well. So I'll be interested to see how teams from this part of the state travel or host and come stack up against teams from other part of the state, even like the Mosinee game, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're hosting a team that has to get on a long bus ride. So different, but I think no less interesting or exciting to kind of look for towards the outcomes on Friday night.
Every game is going to be exciting in some way. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's going to be some scores that are not going to be fun,
yep.
But I mean, I am so looking forward to going to Arrowhead on Friday. I mean, that's so much fun, and I'm sure the guys are all looking forward with the Wausau West team as well. What a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at the 8-1 seeds and how tough, and people kind of make some complaints. In basketball, we have 16 versus 1 seeds early on in those matchups. So.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to a great level one. We'll talk about everything going on in level two next week, but we'll see you then.
Sounds good. Enjoy the fall weather.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. CBS News has learned from two U.S. officials that the Trump administration has made plans to soon deploy a team of Border Patrol agents to the San Francisco area as part of its crackdown on illegal immigration. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
It is a disgrace, but it is hardly surprising. It cannot be allowed to be normalized.
In Chicago, the deployment of troops onto city streets is blocked again. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
The federal judge, who had already blocked the deployment of National Guard troops to the Chicago area for 2 weeks, has now extended that order indefinitely. Attorneys for the Trump administration say they'll agree to extend the order, but will keep pressing for an emergency order from the Supreme Court to allow troops. Lawyers representing the city and the state of Illinois have asked the high court to block it, calling it a dramatic step.
Saying his conversations with Russia's president don't